Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett. You can visit them online at rileysguns.com or at 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett. Bulldog Live with attorney Penny Dean next here on The Pulse.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our phone number right here on Bulldog Live, where you can call in and ask attorney Penny Dean a question about your gun rights. But boy, oh boy, Penny, is there a lot to talk about today.
I'm telling you, keeping us busy.
Well, if anybody missed it over the weekend, the union leader did a story about three gun bills that are expected to be taken up real soon in the House of Representatives. And in fact, it's gotten Governor Lynch all wound up tight that he's going to be doing a press conference in just about another half hour, along with some police chiefs.
That's exactly right. And I think the bottom line in this particular case is that I believe they're going to be taken up tomorrow. That's what the rumor on the street is. But of course, Speaker O'Brien controls when bills are called. But the rumor on the street is they're going to be taken up tomorrow. And so people should go to GONH's website and click on all the links and let their representatives know how they feel about these bills.
Right, exactly. In fact, there's very little time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So they really need to call and email today, because some reps, you know, might not look at their email before or their phone calls before they go in tomorrow. So really, and the other thing is, there are a few reps who, there's a lot of misconception about these bills. And so I think if people can educate their representatives, sometimes, you know, there are so many bills, the representatives don't have an opportunity to read every bill like they should. They just don't.
I know they don't.
Yeah. The bottom, and so the bottom line is that really what needs to happen is that more of them need to get read. But more importantly, we need to help educate our representatives, because we have citizen legislators in the state, and it's really to our advantage to educate them. You know, and so we have, for example, the first bill is HB 94. And what that bill does, there's two versions.
HB 194, you mean?
HB 194, I apologize.
Okay.
HB 194. And that bill, the original bill, which was introduced by Representative Hull, was a very clean bill. And what it did, it took RSA 2077. And RSA 2077 has four sections, Roman numerals 1 through 4. And Roman numeral 1 is basically the only one that, in my opinion, they need or should have, and that's what I would call the poaching section, okay? And that section was designed to give fish and game conservation officers the ability to cite and charge people who were poaching. And that says no person shall take or attempt to take wild birds or wild animals from any motor vehicle, off-road vehicle, snowmobile as defined in RSA 215C1, boat, aircraft, or other craft propelled by mechanical power. Now, that really is all fish and game should need. 2, 3, and 4 really get into law-abiding citizens, and it really restricts our right to self-defense. So the J.R. Hole's original bill suggested that Roman numerals 2, 3, and 4 be repealed.
Okay.
And that's really the good, clean version. Since then, Representative Gary Hopper has offered an amendment. And the only thing I can tell you is the last segment of it is what I call a make-work bill for lawyers.
Oh, great.
Yeah, yeah. So my profession, I actually should be saying, oh, you should pass that one. You should pass that one. But, you know, I don't feel that way, because what's going to happen is the last segment of it is what I call a gotcha. and it requires all sorts of written permission if you're on your buddy's land with a loaded fireman, blah, blah, blah. People aren't going to remember. You go to your friend John's place all the time. Are you going to remember to get written permission from him to carry in your possession all the time if you're having a loaded firearm on his property?
Even a handgun?
Nope, it's for long guns.
Okay.
And the law isn't clear, but in my opinion, it only covers, in the 2077 context, a rifle or a shotgun. And the 207, or I'm sorry, HB 194, which is the original clean one, that seeks to repeal 2, 3, and 4, will give people back their rights, particularly if you have an off-road vehicle, if you have a motorhome, if you have an aircraft, if you have any type of vehicle that right now you can't carry loaded firearms in, loaded long guns in.
Long guns. Yeah, and we have to be clear with this language too, Penny, because this is where the Union Leader article was confused the heck out of a lot of people, including the governor's press release from late last week stating that House Bill 194 would overturn a law banning loaded weapons and vehicles, which has been in place for 74 years. This would dramatically increase risk for accidental discharge. That's what they said. And it's like, wait a minute. People who have a pistol license can carry a loaded gun in their vehicle, a loaded handgun in particular. So they're trying to cloud the issue.
Absolutely. They're trying to cloud it, and it's really poor journalism, and I'm really disappointed in that. But more importantly, the bottom line is that people carrying loaded handguns, you know what, there's a lot of people like me who wanted a better self-defense tool. You know what I did? AR-15s, they make pistols of them. So if you want a good self-defense tool in your vehicle that's legal, if you have a license to carry a pistol or revolver, you go buy an AR-15 pistol.
Okay.
Which is perfectly legal. Okay? And so then my answer is, okay, you want to give me a hard time? This is a pistol. The gun store sold it to me as a pistol. It's regulated as a pistol. They filled out pistol on the 4473. It's a pistol.
Okay.
Might have a 14-inch barrel, but it's a pistol. And so the bottom line is there are legal ways to be... Yeah, I mean, think about it. I'd rather have my...
I can see that strapped to your hip, you know.
Well, actually, I have the greatest shoulder harness for it. And when you have a like a long, what do I want to say, like a Burberry-type coat or something, don't even notice it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's real. And it has, like, it's just a really cool thing. It has, like, it's a friend of mine that I get to use. It has, like, when you shoot it at the range, it has about 8 inches of fire come out of the end. People all come down and go, what is that? You know, it's just really cool. So the bottom line is 194, the way it's written right now, you can't even have magazines, rather, or clips, some people call them clips,
right,
with cartridges in them attached to your firearm, even if there's one in the chamber.
Okay.
Or not one in the chamber. Under the current law, it's just plain ridiculous. The other thing is...
So would this change with House Bill 194 allow you to carry a clip attached to the firearm, the long gun, without a round in the chamber?
It would let you carry one with one, which is...
Okay.
What's the difference between, here's the thing, we've been carrying handguns with rounds in the chamber for decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you hear of any great trauma on the street?
No.
Yeah, there's just no trauma on the street. You know, and the bottom line is that rifles and shotguns are typically handled less than handguns.
True.
And you know what I'm saying? So if you're talking about the risk of accidental discharge and all these risks they talk about, they're handled less. There's lesser risk than of a handgun.
Even bouncing around in the back of a truck, as some people would say?
Well, police have them all in their cruisers strapped in their trunk.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have seen cops open their trunk up and there they are?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't believe bouncing around, you know, like I have two different types of firearm racks in my truck. I have these suction cups that are on my back windows, and then I have these hanger things that hang behind my seats. And so the firearm's really pretty secure. As a matter of fact, if you're like me, I paid a lot of money for my guns and my scope. Am I going to let them bounce around and get dinged?
Yeah, no.
Not happening. You know, I don't like dings on my stuff, and I don't like scopes or delicate instruments. I don't want them cracked up, you know. So,
okay.
So that's just plain silly. Now, the next bill is HB 536. And it's been labeled the Constitutional Carry Bill. And it started out very protective of firearm owners' rights. Right now, what's left of it, you can't even say the remnants. There's a sniff of constitutional rights left. But at this point, you know, the bottom line is it's at least a step in the right direction. But when people talk about HB 536 and they say all these things, you know what it's going to do right now is basically allow you, if you are able lawfully to own a firearm, okay, it's going to allow you to carry without a license. Licenses are going to be optional. It makes two other changes. It returns the fee for non-residents from $100 back to $20.
Good.
Yep. It makes, you know, makes it more fair. It also makes it, more importantly, right now they're renewed in the fourth year of your anniversary birth month. They make it 5 years. So it just increases it a year.
Okay.
Which means less burden on the police departments to process the applications for those who choose to carry one. And basically, that's it. In other words, all of the other rights and things that would have come back to citizens have been pulled from 536. So all of what I call, to some people, the controversial proportions in 536 simply aren't there. When I say it's just a sniff or scintilla of what it was, that's really what it is now.
But basically, it would still allow us to carry a concealed pistol without a license.
Absolutely.
Okay, and in our vehicle as well.
Yeah, absolutely, in your vehicle as well. And so that is really, really, really an important bill because it gets rid of what I call the arbitrary actions by law enforcement.
And it brings us more in line with what they do in Vermont, Alaska, I think Montana, and what is it recently, Arizona?
Arizona, yes. There's a lot of other places. And so when people talk about, oh, all these bad things are going to happen, well, Vermont's been doing it for decades, and last time I checked, it usually, statistically speaking, according to the FBI, is the safest state in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between New Hampshire, depends on the year, between New Hampshire and Vermont, we kind
right.
of vie for that. But the bottom line is, I say to people, how is it? What's different in the water in Vermont? They don't have a problem there?
Right.
You know, there just isn't a problem. And I don't think we're going to continue to have problems or that we're going to have problems with these things. It just hasn't happened. And
right.
so I think the bottom line that we have to look at in this particular case is what's fair and what's right and what's equitable for New Hampshire residents.
And of course, the fearmongers also on House Bill 536 are saying, well, gee, anybody will be able to carry a gun anywhere. And it's like, no, because it doesn't change who is a prohibited person. It doesn't change those prohibitions of criminals, convicted felons, and the like.
It absolutely doesn't. But I think more importantly, anybody can carry a gun anywhere openly now if they want, anyhow. And again, minus the prohibited people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so when people talk about, well, they can do this or do that, I'm like, so what's the change? You know, there just isn't any change.
Right.
And I think that's really the important thing for people to talk about.
All right. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here on Bulldog Live at 1-866-823-1077. Brought to you by Riley Sports Shop in Hooksett, 1575 Hooksett Road. And, you know, been in business for, gosh, over 50 years serving the public. And Ralph D'Amico, the owner, I think he just celebrated, what, 38 years, Penny?
Can you believe it?
38 years. Yeah. Whew.
That's a long time.
Hey, and everybody there knows their stuff, that's for sure. But thank you to them for making Second Amendment Tuesdays possible. But also looking at the other bill, the third one that could be taken up as early as tomorrow, House Bill 334, this is the one that, again, is erroneously labeled as allowing guns on college campuses.
That's exactly correct. And the bottom line is guns are allowed on college campuses, and we're talking about in New Hampshire right now. The only thing is the college has all these rules that they're going to expel students from. I'm waiting for the first case. Anybody out there that is listening, think about this, okay? I'm waiting for the first case pertaining to this stuff. And here's why. The colleges and universities do not have the authority under current law to regulate firearms the way they've been doing it. I feel free to carry firearms on college campuses in New Hampshire
mm-hmm.
because, first of all, if I'm found out, which is the story goes, if I got a clear leather, that's the least of my worries. The bottom line is I don't think there's a law that prohibits me from doing so, okay,
mm-hmm.
number one. But number two, what they do is they scare these students, okay, into complying because the bottom line is they don't want to risk expulsion. They don't want to risk, because that's what they do. They scare them. And what I think someone should do is file a declaratory judgment to make the colleges quit doing that. And I think what's important, and I wanted to pull the site. I haven't had an opportunity to pull the site. About 10 years ago, there was a First Circuit case where UNH said, we are a political subdivision of the state of New Hampshire, which is correct, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're a political subdivision of the state of New Hampshire, you can't regulate firearms. It's done at the state level.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. Either you're a political subdivision of the state or you're not a political subdivision of the state. And I don't care which it is, although I know you are, but pick one. You know, you can't have it, well, we are for this and we're not for this and we are for this. It's not how it works.
I gotcha. Well, Penny, I do have a caller on the line at 1-866-823-1077. Let's talk to Dave from where? You're on Bulldog Live along with attorney Penny Dean.
Yes, I'll make this quick. Penny, thank you very much for your work.
You're welcome.
And I had a quick question. I want to give my 21-year-old son for a birthday gift an old gun that's been in the family forever. And it's not anything special. It's an old 38, but it has sentimental value. I'm worried about liability and stuff like that. So my question is, what I'd like to do is lead the barrels and lead the chambers and take out the firing pin and just put it in a display case. Am I liable, or would he be liable if that was taken and it was used in some nefarious way, or if the best efforts were made to disarm it? You know what I'm saying? It's a revolver, so.
Okay, but you're saying that it's yours.
Yes.
And you're a New Hampshire resident, right?
Yes.
And your son is a New Hampshire resident, right?
No.
Oh, we got to stop right there.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Here's the way you have to do that. Here's the issue, and this is a good issue for everyone.
Okay? It's a very good question.
It is a very good question, and let me tell you, because in my line of work, I can never tell tales out of school, but I received a call some time ago from a particular police officer wanting me to represent them, and they had done this very thing, and I go, it's a federal crime. Are you crazy? And the guy's like, no, here's what I did. I go, yeah, that's a federal crime. Can't do it. and so it's very, very good you ask. This is a good question. Because you're a New Hampshire resident and because you don't have a federal firearms license, okay, you cannot give, borrow, beg, whatever term you want to use, a firearm. Because here's the funny thing. Even though that's old and may not be functional, the law may still say it's a firearm. And as a fact, if anyone knows what cutaway guns are, I have some. They're beautiful. What they are is they're things that look like firearms, and they've had a machinist cut away all the parts so you can see the moving parts. When, even though they're as non-functional comes, under the law, they're a firearm. They're regulated like a firearm. When I purchase them, I have to fill out a 4473. I would have to treat them like a firearm. And so what you're talking about, even if it becomes art, okay, and you remove the firing pin,
right?
Arguably, it's still a firearm. There's gray area back and forth, but my point is you do not want to get caught in this gray area, okay, because it becomes non-functional. So in your mind, it is not a firearm because it's capable of being readily restored. In other words, if someone put a firing pin back in it, it would function, correct?
Even if I leaded the barrels and the chambers?
You know what?
You know, like sealed them? Lead.
You know what? That's a gray area, okay? And so here's what I think you'd be wiser to do to be safer. Because it's a handgun, to go to a federally licensed firearms dealer in New Hampshire and have that individual transfer it to a federally licensed firearm dealer in his home state. Because even though it's a brother, father, sister, mother, all that, you cannot give, when you're living, you cannot physically give these gifts to individuals in other states. Because that's a
but he could take this gun down to Riley's and say, hey, look, I want to give this to my son. He lives in, we'll say, New Mexico, I'll just guess. And, you know, can you ship it out to him? And they would probably be able to do that, right, Penny?
Absolutely. No problem.
To another firearm dealer. And then when the son goes to pick up the gun at the other end, he has to go through the background check at that other dealer?
Okay. Would it make a difference if he did live in New Hampshire? I mean, as far
Absolutely.
As the liability goes, if somebody would have, you know,
Absolutely.
Like take it, steal it, and use it like in a robbery or something, or even though it's not functional.
There's two questions you're asking, okay? Number one, if he were a New Hampshire resident, you could just give it to him, as long as you know he's not a prohibited person, you could just give it to him, okay? You could give one to me, because I'm a New Hampshire resident. You don't even have to be related to me.
Right.
Okay? But you ask about liability. Anybody can sue anyone for anything, okay? So I am not so concerned about things like that because I think you're going to win on what's called a summary judgment motion. Let's say that someone steals some firearms from my house, okay? And let's say they go murder the man next door. His family could sue me, but I don't believe they're going to collect. In New Hampshire, I just don't believe they're going to collect. Now, in some states where they have all sorts of crazy negligent storage laws, like Massachusetts has a really interesting case where a guy broke in a locked storage cabinet, and they still found the homeowner guilty or liable.
I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So the bottom line is, but in New Hampshire, okay, as long as, you know, in other words, let's say that someone breaks into his
I'm going to have to wrap this up in about a minute.
Okay, if someone breaks into his house, I just don't see a lawsuit coming from that. Now, can someone sue you? Yeah. Do I think you're going to be found civilly liable? I just don't see that happen in New Hampshire.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And, Dave, very good question. Good thing you asked, huh?
Hey, yes. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome. Good luck. Take care. All right. Well, Penny, let's see. How do people get in touch with you if they have any further questions, and particularly about the three bills that could be taken up by the legislature tomorrow?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, how do people get in touch with you?
Oh, 230-9... I'm sorry, there was a break in the line. 230-9999.
All right, very good. And again, thank you to Riley's Sports Shop in Hooksett, 1575 Hooksett Road in Hooksett. You can reach them at 485-5000 as well as rileysguns.com with some very convenient hours for you as well. And one parting thought before we go, Penny. Record gun checks and sales for Christmas.
Isn't that great? The other thing is, can I tell everyone to check GoNH's website because they can click on all the links to easily email and call all their reps. Everything's super easy to go to GoNH.org and click, click, click.
All right, very good. GoNH.org. Thanks, Penny. Talk to you next week.
Yes, next week.
Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.